It was exciting to just a little bit he shared with me, and I knew that that was something we wanted, the Holy Spirit wanted us to have here. So I asked him, would he come? And he gladly said yes. So without further ado, Tosh Paolini is going to come up and give his testimony.
Thank you. Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay. One second. All right. My name is Atosh Paolini, and I come from Savannah. Child of God, son of God. That's pretty much all you really need to know. Just a brother. So the question that a lot of us ask, both believers and unbelievers ask, is, you know, why does God allow these things, you know, these bad things to happen to good people? So as some of you may know, a part of my testimony, I was involved in a grease fire accident, and I was frying chicken, and as I was frying, I was about probably 6 inches from the pan, and it a flame ignited, and it just struck, and it was about 3 to 5 feet high, and it burnt my right side, my entire face. It just scorched it, and I mean, the skin was just peeling off, just hanging on my side. And in the middle of that that moment, you know, you think about your neighbors, you think about everyone around you, and I mean, I'm alone in the apartment. And so I want to prevent that fire from spreading. And so in the heat of the moment, I grabbed the pan. I burned both of my hands with it's boiling grease. And so I'm walking it toward the sink. And as I do that, it's, you know, your mind goes into a bit of a chaos. You know, you see fire, you want to use water. And so I immediately turn on the faucet. And water, and I'm standing right in front of it, and so water hits the pan filled with about 24 ounces of grease, and it just splattered all over me. And I actually have a mini clip of kind of what, very similar to what happened. You guys can see. So it'll replay, I think. There we go. Although I was in front of it. And so what happened was I poured the water in, and immediately all the grease just splattered all over me. So my face is on fire. Half of my face is gone. And now I have about 40% of my body is entirely burned, with my face being a deep second degree burn, and everywhere else was third degree. So both my hands, all my entire arm, my chest, my abs, and my thighs just entirely burned, and the sprinklers turned on. So I was in an apartment, so the sprinklers turned on, and that did not help. So by that time, I'm in so much pain. I'm in just so much pain that I totally forget about the fire, and it was at that point where I just took a few steps aside, and by this time there's, you know, the sprinklers are turned on, there's smoke, and there's you know, there's poison in the air, and I'm on fire. My body is literally frying itself, and I'm standing there in so much pain, and I was crying out to God, God, take me, take this away. Take this away from me. Take this pain away, or just take me. Be like, let me just go. And and at times we have, you know, many of us face all sorts of trials that the enemy tries to put trials in. And as the closer we get to God, the enemy, the stronger he attacks. And it's at that peak of the trial that God is looking down on us, and he's looking to see what we're going to do in that situation. Because many of us, not many of us, but many people in general, you know, they seek the blessings from God. They want to be blessed, 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 and God blesses us. But then when trial strikes, when temptation comes, we just want God to just pull it away and make it easy for us. And if he doesn't, you know, at times we'll just run away and not put our faith in him. But it says in Psalm 53, verse 2, let's see, I'm not sure if you have it there. It says, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. And so what are we going to do in the peak of the trial, at the toughest moment, at the most dangerous or the most painful, whether it's physical or emotional or mental, what are we going to do? And God is just looking forward. He's just leaning and he's waiting to see if we are going to trust in him, if we're going to have that faith that no matter whatever is going on, no matter who says what, are we going to trust him? Amen. You know, he's the one who created us. He's the one who uniquely made you and made us. And he's the one who's wanting to have a deeper relationship with us. So the question that I want you to keep in mind when things of this nature happen is, am I going to trust God? Am I going to take that step of faith and fully trust God? Amen. And so I was crying out to God. I was pleading for just either I really was pleading for him to be done and just take me home. But there was no answer. There was silence. But there was one thing, and there was peace. And no matter how painful it was, and I mean, my head is burning, and like everything is open wounds, and the sprinklers, the water is just pouring down, and it's just multiplying the burn, really what it's doing. But I was at peace. It says in Isaiah 54, verse 10, it says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you.
Amen.
And see, that foundation of our love is that unstable, it's that unshakable truth of God's love for us. And so when we rely upon God, he is going to take care of us no matter whatever we're going through, no matter how hard the trial is. He is going to overwhelm us with peace.
Amen.
And so at that point, I knew in my heart that I was not going to die. And I knew that God had a different plan, different purpose. I didn't know what it was, but I didn't like it. But I know he is a good father, and I know I must trust him, and I must continue in him. And so I ran out. By this time, there's smoke, and there's so much smoke in the house. You can almost barely not see what's going on, and it's just pouring water. And so I run outside, and my skin is just bleach white. I remember looking in my at my hands, and it was as if it were tape, where it was just removed, and the skin was just hanging there, and I was just crying out for help, and the neighbors came, and their jaw just dropped, like they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know, you know, I didn't look the same, But that was okay. You know, I was in a lot of pain, but I was at peace. And I did not have fear, because the love of God casts away all fear.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much pain you're suffering. What really matters is your foundation.
Yes.
And if you are, you know, if you, I guess the better question is, you know, what is your current focus in life? What is your goal? Right, and if your focus is on money, or if it's on work and skills or beauty or whatever it is, and your foundation is that and is not God, at that peak, at that moment in trial, your house is built on sand. It's built on nothing. And I tell you, you know, when I was standing there and I was ready to die, I didn't think about anything or anyone except my relationship with God, because I knew at that moment in time that I would meet him if that was his will, obviously. And so In John 4, verse 18 through 19, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." And God wants us to have such a relationship with him. It's not about serving God for who he is and, obeying the Ten Commandments and just serving him as, okay, he's God, and obviously I'm not going to do this because he's God, and you see him as a father that is going to punish you every time you do wrong. God wants to have a relationship with us. We don't do what we fulfill the law, and we don't go against the Ten Commandments, against the law of God, because we love God.
That's right. Amen.
It's a relationship.
Amen.
And so I remember I was in the, they were carrying me in the ambulance, and when I arrived at the hospital, it was my friends were there, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and it was so weird. I was filled with so much joy and so much peace, and I was in so much pain, but I was just praising God in on the bed, and I was just worshiping and ministering to my brothers and sisters, comforting them, and God was using me to comfort them that everything was going to be okay. And I have a few pictures of what happened. So this was, I think, day two-ish of that. Keep on going. This was later on. This was probably about a few weeks in. So here was my brother in Christ. I could not use my right hand. It was entirely burnt off, and you'll see a picture in a second. But I was riding with my left hand, and I'm right-handed, and I was praising God on, they kept giving me stacks of paper, and I was just praising God on them, and ministering to the nurse and to whoever was nearby, and you can just roll. So that was my right arm. And I mean, this was actually about three weeks in. You can keep cycling if you like, it's fine. The most painful moment actually wasn't the experience of the physical suffering of that fire. It was actually the spiritual side, the mental warfare and spiritual warfare that the enemy was attacking. So throughout the first day, I saw my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they were comforting me, and God was filling me with joy and peace. And immediately the next day, that was one of the most hard moments, because I had to go through surgery, and they gave me so much anesthesia that I had amnesia of all of the good things that God did during that prior day. And so I woke up in an isolated room, and don't know where I'm at, and all I'm thinking is, no one came, no one is there, no one is here, and there was peace, but the enemy was trying to put thoughts in me. And that's what he does to all of us. He tries to attack and undermine what God has blessed us with. And so the enemy, the real thing is that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And oftentimes when we see someone go through something, or when we ourselves are going through something, we oftentimes unconsciously or subconsciously put the blame on God. Why did you allow this to happen to me, or to my daughter, or to my family, or to my relationship, right? And that is not right, because God says, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. Amen. The enemy has come to destroy what your relationship with the Father is, to destroy your relationship with your family, to destroy everything. And so as a side note, if God has come to destroy the works of the enemy, so have we also as a role to expose the enemy and to destroy those works.
That's right.
And if we see something wrong, we see something evil, we cannot not say anything. We must say something because
amen.
We must expose the enemy. So the enemy forms, he strategically forms circumstances and twists the truth from people, from one person to the other. And he does it so ever slightly that the end result, it causes hurt and causes pain, and it causes one person to start a fight with another one. And the enemy is in the details. And that is what we must be careful of. It says, so like God shows us and like God sees us as a son and daughter, right? But Satan will spit at that. He does not like that. His focus and his goal is to destroy you and to get rid of you. And in Ephesians 6, verse 13, it says, I think I got the wrong one. Let's see. Ephesians 6, 13. I have a different one, sorry. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Thanks. So we are to destroy hell and to expose the enemy, and we must keep that in mind. See, oftentimes we blame the individual, or whether it's a family member, or it's a wife or a spouse, we blame them. See, the enemy deceives them, and that's why they do what they do.
Amen.
But we should rebuke what the enemy has put in their hearts, because if someone knows, if someone is seeking God and they know what to do, you know. And they do it. If they have a heart toward it, they'll do it. They'll do what God says, right? And oftentimes we see a brother and sister who is seeking after God, and they don't necessarily need a hammer, but we just need to expose the enemy in that specific area of their lives.
Amen.
And so we cannot, in a peak of a trial, during a trial, or a tragedy, or whatever else is happening. I remember. When this happened, my uncle died about a month prior, and then I think a few weeks later, a great uncle died, and so my family wasn't in a good state already. But the enemy is going to attack over and over and over again, trying to undermine. It's not just me, you know, but the people around me as well, the people that care for me,
right.
Because they're also suffering.
Yes. Amen.
And we cannot have hope during these trials if we don't know our Father. If we don't know the love of our Father, we're not going to have hope. We're going to, as soon as something happens, we're going to fall off. And so there's this one thing I'd like to read. I don't have it on the wall, but I'll read it. And it's a quick story. It says, there was, and you guys can hear me? Is that good? Okay. there was once a group of women studying the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. As they were studying chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what the statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, this woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest, as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered yes and explained that he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be damaged. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy, when I see my image in it." So God allows us to go through these things, not that he causes us to go through these things, because we need to keep in mind that in the beginning of time, as we read in Genesis, God walked among us. We had a relationship with Christ, and that we decided to forsake God and be our own gods. We decided to eat of the apple or eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree. And by doing that, we broke that relationship between the Father, and that darkness came over us, right? And so it's because of what we've done that there is evil in this world. It's not because of the Father. But God allows us to go through these things so that he can build us up. And so the enemy, when he attacks us, the first thing he does is he attacks our relationship with God. And if we're not solid, if we're not founded upon knowing that God is love and God is good and he is a good father, then it's easy for him to just swift us up and throw us away. And that's all he needs to do. He doesn't need to do anything else. But if our relationship with God, if we don't have one, that's all he needs to do. That's all he cares about. Because in reality, as this is war and this is a battlefield, and we must always be careful, vigilant of what the enemy is doing in our lives.
Right.
With it doesn't matter if it's a believer with a believer, there's an enemy involved.
Yes.
And there's probably even more. In James chapter 1, verse 24, it says, let's see, thank you. Let's see, I think there was... might have the wrong verse. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Oh, my bad, my apology.
James 1:4.
Sorry. And so God allows us to go through these things so that our relationship is grounded, is stronger in him, so that our faith is increased, so we can persevere and increase our faith, increase in the knowledge of him, of the Father who loves us, and we can hold even stronger to God. But the enemy uses that to attack our relationship with God. And if we stand still, if we are solid and grounded upon God, then the enemy is going to attack your sonship and your identity in Christ.
Right.
And if you're not aware of that, then he is going to undermine that. He's going to put doubts and thoughts, because of this, this trial or this temptation or this tragedy happened, I made a mistake or I made this, and the enemy is trying to undermine you. And by doing that, then you're not walking, knowing who you are, knowing that you are right in the sight of God, and you're not walking in power. And you're weak, and
right.
The enemy will use and abuse you.
Yes, that's the truth.
And so we must use that to build character and love and perseverance while being with God. And so I remember during all of this, even throughout the recovery, God was always there. He's always there. Now, we might not recognize it because of all of the chaotic environment and the chaos and everything that is going because of the pain or the suffering. We might not recognize and think that God is distant, but God is always there. He's always there. And there's peace. So we must rely and hope in him and continue in that. And so God allows this, right, so that we can make an impact, right? And the enemy destroys us through this if we don't rely on God, so that he destroys our impact, so that we are not going to be a light in the world, right? And again, a light cannot shine if it's not in a dark spot. And so we must realize that, you know, at times, you know, we are in the midst of darkness, but we are not darkness. And I want us to look at the cross. When we look at Christ, you know, who placed him on our cross? So God used us to place him on the cross, but we were the one. It was God allowed him to go to the cross. See, Christ cried out. He said, you know, Father, if it is your will, you know, let this pass away. He didn't want to go to the cross, right? And he said, you know, if I can call, you know, a 12 legions of angels, and they would come and rescue me, right? But the Father sent him to the cross, and he went to the cross. It says, for the joy set before me, I endured, right? And he did that. And Father, it pleased the Father for our God, our Lord, to be crucified so that we can have a relationship with him, with the Father. And so that because he saw something valuable in us, he saw that he wanted that relationship with us. Now, we were the ones that were placing Christ, that were yelling and crying out, crucify, crucify him. And God allowed that so that we could have forgiveness through Christ, right? So the Father used his Son to impact the world for salvation. And now the Father is using us, Christ in us, to impact the world for salvation. And so... and so we are vessels of righteousness.
Yes, we are.
And it says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Okay. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, God allows us to go through these things so that he can use us as an impact. Right? He built us up. He built our relationship so that we know who he is, that he is a loving Father. And he then shows us our identity and our sonship in him. And then he sends us out, because what the devil meant for harm, God uses it for good.
Amen.
And he sends us out to be the light. And so that was about 7 months ago that I had the accident. God is amazing.
Yes, he is.
I should have lost my right eye. I don't know if you have the pictures, but the actual flame, it went around my right eye, and it's one of those things where God will tell it, you know, you're not going to destroy my son's eye, right? He tells, and the flame went around my eye, and one of the first concerns was that, hey, he's going to lose his eye, because, you know, they couldn't even see my eye anymore. And my right arm, you know, I can move it. Everything is going well. There's no issues. Currently I'm just, so that's my right arm. In the sun a little bit, but God is healing. One of the first things he mentioned while I was in recovery, he said, it was in Isaiah 53, verse 5, he says, by my stripes you are healed. And so if you're going through something, whether physically, emotionally, whatever you're going through, if you hold to the truth and to the promises of God, you know, and if you have faith, if you believe that you serve a good, loving Father, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trials, if you hold on to that, God will keep his promises. And I'm fully recovered, and God is good. That was some of the pictures. It's just amazing. The most amazing thing was right before the accident, probably maybe a few months before, one of my prayers was that God would use me to impact, to give me a larger harvest. And it was, I am so glad that God has allowed me to go through these things so that I can make an impact. And one of the things was that I went to the burn center. While I was at the burn center, God showed me, you know, there's people there that are dying. There's people that need me, and they need God, and that having gone through this, I can now relate. I'm able to relate to someone having gone through this tragedy, having gone through this. I'm able to know. I know what they're going through, and God is using me to minister to them. I remember one of the guys that he was my he was in the room next door. I never saw his face. Oh, maybe I did once, but we were isolated. And they were telling me that, you know, he wasn't in as much as a pain, much of a problem as I was, but he was always yelling every night, crying, and he tried to escape every time the hospital, and he ended up dying. And there's many people there that die, and they might not be as physically or emotionally troubled as, you know, you might be throughout a different situation, but it's because they don't have God. They don't have that foundation. There's no reason to move on. And there's no one carrying them through, because only God can carry us through these things. It's been wonderful. There's the harvest has been great. There's a lot of people that God has been using me to minister to and to just talk to, and it's, see, what the enemy tries to do is when you go through something like this, when you're going through a temptation or trial, suffering, whatever it is, and the enemy attacks your relationship with God, and through faith you stand still and hope and hope in God, and then he attacks your sonship, and then you stand still, and then attacks your identity. After he does that, he'll try to undermine his work. He'll try to hide it. He'll try to put things in your head or through other people where it's like, oh, this wasn't a big deal. Oh, it was because of this, and he'll try to undermine his work, so that he is out of the picture, and his ultimate goal is for you to blame God. So if he is out of the picture, now who are you going to try to blame? So we always need to be aware of that, aware of the Father's love, and aware of the enemy that tries over and over and over to deceive us. But it says in Scripture, through Christ we have conquered everything. And so if we stand in faith and if we rely upon Christ, we are conquerors. No matter what happens, no matter what is going on, we are conquerors. And we already conquered that. We live by faith. So if you're going through something, if something is happening right now, in faith, you believe that God has already healed you. God has already resolved that relationship. And faith is timeless. Faith is already happened. It already happened. And it's as if it happened yesterday, and you're just thanking God for it already. I just want to have an altar call. If anyone who, and I want to pray first, so let me pray first, and then have an altar call for anyone who does not know God, anyone who maybe knows him but has slid away, backslid, and you're not walking with him, you're not having him as a solid foundation. Because the reality is, he is intimate, he is involved in our lives. How willing are we to listen to what he's saying and what he's doing in our lives? Because he'll do many things, he'll bless us over and over and over again, but if we're not willing to see, if we only are looking to our worldliness and to the things around us that are just shiny, then we're never going to draw near him. So I just like to pray, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for today. I just thank you for your love and your blessing, Lord. I thank you for using me and just using all of us, God, throughout our trials, throughout our different testimonies, throughout everything that the enemy is attacking us over and over with. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are bringing us through. I thank you, God, that you are healing us, you're restoring us, God, and you're using these opportunities, Lord, to impact those that don't know you, to impact and to be a light, Lord, to show. It says we are conquerors with Christ because of Christ, because of what he has done on the cross for us, Lord. And if it wasn't for you to send your son, Lord, we would have not come to know you, God. We would have been in our sins, and we would have not known the love that you've had and that you have for us, God. And so, I'd like also to just ask if anyone here, you know, we believe that God is a healer, and it wasn't just, you know, 2,000 years ago. It's today. It's here. It's for now. And anyone who, you know, is going through something or situation, whether physically or emotionally, or there's a struggle, Lord, we know that God heals. Jesus is the will of God in flesh, and Jesus healed 100%. And it's, he's not a partial savior, and he's not a partial healer. He heals fully. And if we believe in God, if we want to step out in faith, knowing that he is going to heal right now, then I just like to welcome you forward, and then we can just lay hands and pray everyone together.